This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, a few minutes past 6 p.m. Tomorrow, we'll all be gone. Tony will be here. He'll be hosting along with Bo Matthews. For some reason, I was calling him Boomer.
That'd be awesome.
Cooter and the Bear will be here. So we will be doing the Halloween show in Atchison, Kansas, and Taliban's going with this, and he's real, like, susceptible to things like this and thought he was possessed a couple years ago.
Oh, also tomorrow, there's some 5K going on downtown, like corporate 5K, team building, whatever. Alex, one of the salespeople, just asked me why I wasn't doing it, because we'll be in Kansas. He said that Miss Gazelle was going to be running in the 5K.
No. I will be there.
I may stay home to watch that.
I will be there, but I was told I could walk.
Yeah, you can walk. You can walk.
So that's the only reason
I'm
doing it.
You're going to walk in your Snuggie?
Might. And also, there's adult beverages that's allowed and encouraged. And someone else signed me up, so I kind of have to.
Okay, good, good. You want to talk intermittent fasting?
I guess.
We're all three doing it, right?
She's like our intermittent fasting expert at this point.
But I'm not. And this show has screwed me up so bad on it because I started it fine. Then someone told me from one of your listeners tweeted that I could have cream in my coffee. Then I came in here, Wayne said I couldn't. Then Dave said I could. And now somebody else tweeted on yours that I saw saying I can't. So I went from no cream to having cream to not having. And so I was all over the place. And I feel like I just am not off to a good start. So I'm not on the cream now. I don't know if I lost anything. I'm really hungry.
So can you drink black coffee?
Yes.
No. I mean, can she choke it down? Because I've been having black coffee in the morning. I like my coffee black. I get into bad habits where I put a lot of creamer or half and half in it, and it does taste great. But after a couple days of just plain coffee, I'm like, this is kind of where it's at.
I don't like black coffee. No. But I'm doing it. But you know what I'm finding? I'm drinking less coffee now. Because I don't want the other cup because it doesn't taste as good.
Yeah, I have. Did you tell her about the app?
No.
All right, so there's an app for fasting. It really, it makes me laugh because it's just a glorified clock, you know? I mean, it's like this. But the last 2 days I've used it and it's helped. There's something
with
about
what?
It. So there's something about, like, it says, okay, hit this when you start fasting. So last night, the last thing I had to eat was at 7:30 p.m., and it said, okay, at 11:30, you can eat again. And I'm pretty good with not eating breakfast and stuff. But yesterday it was 12:58 that I couldn't eat. And I was pretty hungry. But like just watching it count down, I felt like a loser if I ate something before that. Does that make sense?
Wait, so you don't do it the same time every day?
No, you don't have to.
You don't? But then doesn't that screw up your
It's probably best just to keep the habit going, but so long, because I'm doing 16 and 8.
Okay, which is what I'm doing.
But
yeah.
I'm probably going to switch to 18 and 6 because I just don't need 8 hours to eat. And if I do, I'll eat too much. But yeah, it's been keeping me pretty honest. Here's my thing.
Oh, what's it called? Sorry.
What's it called, Rach?
It's called like Zero Fasting
That's
app.
Right. That's all right,
we've got the same one. By chance.
Zero Fasting app. Yeah.
My problem is I am almost literally addicted to, before I go to bed every night, I have to have like a ding dong and a big drink of milk. And that just blows everything.
Right.
And so last night was tough. I really wanted it. I was like jonesing for it, but I didn't. I just went to bed without it and woke up and I'd lost weight. So,
sweet.
That's where it's really helping me.
I don't know if I've lost weight, but I was saying this to Rachel before this. I felt like fatter my first 3 days. I don't know why.
After your drunken walk tomorrow, you should be.
It's the only way you can do that. I'm not an exerciser, so this will be interesting. Anyway, I'm going to see tonight if I lost any weight, because I'm going to my parents, and that's the scale I always weigh myself on.
Man, I would, don't weigh at night. Then you got food in you.
No, but I haven't. I only had a little bit to eat today.
Okay.
Because I fast all day until 3 or 3:30, okay. So I just had a little snack.
Gotcha. I have to weigh in the morning, so nude that like my pancreas is on the outside. Like
No shoes, no socks, no underwear.
No, no, no. Most people who are sane would at least like be in their underwear. But I'm like, that might be 3 ounces.
Well, we'll see.
I have an eating disorder.
I don't feel good about it.
Trish, did you happen to listen last week whenever Andrew and Tony had their Garf off?
No, and I keep seeing tweets about Garf, and I don't know what that okay. means.
So it's Garfield. It was recently discovered that both Andrew and Tony were obsessed with the Garfield comics as children, which is great because they don't have a lot in common. Those two clash a lot, so it was fun to find common ground. So Andrew brought in his Garfield books, and we went through, and we would pick a comic, and they would try to have to complete. They both claimed to know Garfield so well that they could complete the third panel of any one of these comics. Mm. It was really exciting.
Not sure that's something I would brag
about.
But I'm trying to get...
Something started because yesterday Sue and Dave were both talking about the Brady Bunch and how obsessed they were with it in the 70s. And they were saying, oh, I know more about it than you. I'm like, we should have a Brady off. And then I was just like, we should just have offs all the time where people pick their expertise and then challenge each other. And then you're declared the king of whatever.
We could be
whatever.
TV,
yeah,
reality
I was gonna say,
shows.
We could do like the Bravo yeah. off. But I was going to say, like, other than that, what would you want to challenge someone in where you think you would get it right every time?
Definitely TV. I don't know. Now I'm stuck.
I wonder if anybody could beat Dave in Beatles trivia.
Oh, yeah.
You're not that great?
I mean, once again, like we talked yesterday, that I am a light nerd. I'm not a deep nerd. So I'm a nerd about a bunch of things. But, you know,
not all the way.
Oh, my God, no. I mean, there are people like I know that Ringo was the oldest and George was the youngest, but people know like their social security numbers and like I'm not that guy.
You know
all.
What I'm really good at is if you play like 3 seconds of a song, guessing what song it is. I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah, I used to play this game where it would be like you play a song, maybe like a B-side that you don't know, but then you guess the band. I was always really good at that, especially with like alternative music. I love stuff like that. I wish we could play that on the air, but stupid
can you
licensing
not,
issues.
Even like, I thought it was a certain amount of seconds.
I guess we
seconds.
Could play the first 3 seconds
like,
or something.
Like name that tune?
Yeah.
I can name it in.
All I want to do is play games on the show, which we've been told to play less games, but I have the most fun doing that other than anything else.
I was at a bar last night with Nick and you just hear this. Okay, we're about to play music trivia. And I'm like, I will pay you $500. Whatever they're paying you, I'll triple it to go home. But you'd have been great at it because that's exactly what it was. They would play like 5 seconds of 10 different songs. And it's like a bingo kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, oh,
I love that.
I know I sound like such a curmudgeon dick, but I know people go to bars to do those kind of things, that's great. But when you go to a bar and you're not there to do the trivia or
like you're there to talk and spend time with your
and
son.
And then the sound system's always like this and, oh, God.
Hey, what
and here's
you,
the girl. She walked up to us. She was sweet. She walks up and she's like, would you guys like to play the musical bingo? And we're like, nah, we're just having a conversation. She goes, oh. Like she was so,
why don't you wanna
she
play?
Was so hurt. I'm like, I'm sorry. I just don't.
What did you think about Family Feud when we played?
I thought it was
honestly.
Great.
You did?
I loved it. Yeah, I thought it was really entertaining.
So I wanted to bring this up since Trish is in the room and we both do like Bravo, Real Housewives. Do you watch New York City?
Yes.
Okay.
That's one of the best ones.
So, Ryan, the Real Housewives of New York City is the best Bravo Real Housewives show. I'm sure you already knew that.
I didn't know there were multiples, to be honest
There's 10. There's a lot.
Atlanta, Dallas, Jersey, OC, Beverly Hills.
Do they all follow pretty much the same template?
Yeah, it's you know, 5 or 6 women living in generally the same area, getting together and fighting.
But they're not all married. That's where the name might throw you off.
Actually, I don't think any of the Real Housewives of New York City are actually married. But that's my favorite franchise. I think it's by far the best. And there's two women on the show named Dorinda and Sonia, and it's New York Fashion Week. So they were at a fashion show taking video for Instagram, and there was some show and there were like 2 transsexual models walking the show. And these women are both in their late 50s, early 60s, I believe. And they were saying like, is that a guy? Oh yeah, that's a guy. You can tell by their body type. and somehow it got posted on social media. I guess it, I think they posted it to their own account, not realizing what was said or not thinking it was a huge deal. And this model, one of the models they were talking about, Yasmin Petty, got on the internet and was like, this is rude and cruel, and we need to hold these women responsible and this and this. And then Dorinda and Sonia released a statement saying, like, we're really sorry that we offended you, but we have a long history of supporting the LGBTQ community. Let's just leave it at that. And I just thought it was such an interesting story because back to reality TV, I just sound like a trash human right now. Like, I was watching Jersey Shore the other day, but I was. And that show came out in, like, 2010, and they used the word tranny, like, all the time. And this was 9-10 years ago. And it was just like okay to say on MTV and use it as an insult and throw it around like it meant nothing. Now today, if someone says like, was that person born a man? Then that's rude and petty. To me, it's just like these women are older. They're not up on all the correct ways to say something or the things to step around. Like, can we cut these two a break? It, especially in this situation when they have supported the community for years and years. Can we just not all breathe down their necks and tell them that they're transphobic? Because they're not. They made a crass comment. Yeah, it was rude. It sucks that the models heard it. But I don't think they were literally had transphobia and hatred in their hearts whenever they used the
okay,
term.
In the law, there's a statute of limitations. And for not that serious things, the statute may be like 2 years, okay? But for really serious things, like murder, there is no statute. I think that's the way it should be with this, that if you're, there should really be no statute limitations on like, you know, I still think Hitler was right about killing all the Jews. Like, I don't care if you said that 50 years ago, this needs to be a really serious discussion. But if you were homophobic or misogynistic or just an idiot 10 or 15 years ago, and now you're like, oh God, I feel dumb about that. I think the statute should run. I think that we should all forgive each other for the normal kinds of things right. that we all did. Well, and we all did different things.
Well, these ladies just now said this. But I brought up the Jersey Shore thing because this was a decade ago, but it was the same thing. It was reality television. Yeah. People just speaking off the cuff and being themselves. And it was like totally fine. I haven't heard anyone come after Snooki in the situation for saying the T word.
Yeah. Well, they might.
They might.
Know, somebody goes back.
I'm sure they will someday. But it was like, come on, these women are older. They were just talking to each other. I think you can say that and not literally be transphobic.
Of course.
They probably heard that there was a trans model in the show and they were trying to figure out who it was. Which doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you a curious person.
This stuff comes up all the time where all of a sudden the rules change.
Yes.
And you can't say something, but some people don't get the message quick enough. I wouldn't begin to put myself in that model situation and how hurtful it might be to hear that. But at the same time, I'm sick of the pile on where when somebody says something that they didn't know was wrong or that they since apologized for, everyone piles on. And like the Kevin Hart thing. And I mean, just name a person here who's gotten in trouble for saying something in their past. The rules change and that's okay. And sometimes that's good. But not everybody catches on at the same speed.
Well, with Kevin Hart, it's funny you bring that up. He's like, was in a serious accident, is in the hospital now. And like, no one even cares. Because a year ago, it was dug up that he made jokes about gay people in 2008.
Yeah. I like the way Chappelle handled the stuff about Kevin Hart.
Yeah, that was, he did a good job with that. I don't know. My whole issue with the story, I'm with you, Trish. I understand why it was hurtful for the model to hear. And I understand when she says it's rude. It was rude. It's rude. I don't think it's transphobic. I think it's rude. But for her to say that it was cruel, I don't know if it was cruel. Cruel is a strong word. That's like hatred in your heart. I'm trying to hurt you as much as I can. No, it was just rude. It wasn't, I don't know. We just jump on the worst possible interpretation. And I think when you start calling everyone, you hate me, you're transphobic, you're cruel, then it's like, man, no, I'm not. And it's harder to take what you're saying seriously when everyone's being painted with that broad brush just because they're not aligning with exactly what you want.
I remember when this first started, way before Me Too, just the inklings of it probably 6-7 years ago, when you would still say like, oh, that's so gay, you're so gay. And we would still on the show say retarded. And I said in my defense, again, this is 8 years ago, when I say something's gay, I never once have thought of a homosexual person. And when I say something, the R word, sorry, we're just saying it because we're talking about it. I never once in my life pictured someone with a mental disability.
But we said that all the time when we were said kids.
All the time.
It was like the thing, like dork or...
Yes.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Once someone really explained it to me, like, well, look, as a gay person, you don't say something's gay when it's good. You're using it as a slam. Mm-hmm. And if you say that something's retarded, my child has this or this or this, and it would bother him or her, and it bothers me. Done.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because then you put a face with the name and you go, got it.
Someone could come up and say, Dave Glover once used the R word.
Yes.
And then, you know, the pile on, oh my God, you said the R word 20 years ago.
And I think the best thing you can do, whether you're Dave Glover or Aziz Ansari or whoever, is just to go, yeah, it was a different time. I didn't mean it in that way. And once I understood it, I did my best to stop saying those things. And that's all you can do. It's all we can do in the future. I guarantee you right now we're using phrases that 5 years from now people will go, I can't believe you said disabled or whatever it happens to be. So, quick break, right back, DGS. Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Wednesday to you. Thanks, everyone who came out to Lady Jane's today and got some pizza and had your hair cut and your neck shaved. It's a nice place.
How many necks did you shave?
Only one, but it was a giant neck.
Oh, okay.
The lady obviously had a problem. So, one big lady neck.
Did you eat any pizza from Mimo's?
Not after shaving that giant lady neck, no.
The stubble and the pizza.
It set me back a ways. What do you got?
Boston, the city of Boston, is giving every public school kindergartner $50 to promote saving for college or career training. So basically, every kindergartner gets a little savings account with $50 in it to help pay for college or their career training whenever they graduate high school. The program is called Boston Saves. What do you think?
Government money?
Well, yes. Mm. I would assume. I'm with you. I don't like it when the government just gives away money, but I mean, I think they spend $50 on each kid at some point doing something else anyway, so I'm all for it going into a savings account that they can tap into when they're ready to go to school. You know, it's not like if they don't do it, they're not going to spend that $50. Like, they're going to save it in their coffers. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know. I'm kind of all for it. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but on the surface, it seems like a good idea to me. I think there are a lot of kids who are kind of maybe like a little mini Rachel, but don't know it. I love to save money. It makes me feel good. I like to be financially stable. But if you're from a family that doesn't do that, you've never had a taste of it before, you might never get a taste for it until you have your own little savings account. And it could inspire some fiscal responsibility with these kids.
Nick, he went to the college school where everything's very... it's not book learning. It's more like, let's do it. And so they had a whole economy where everyone had a job and everyone had a business and you had to buy and sell and you had to get an apartment and all this stuff. And I thought it was great. Like, they really, really learned in that way. And then Nick and I literally crashed the economy because he started a company called Nebay. And what we would do is I would get him like gigantic Hershey's bars and DVDs from work and stuff like that, and he would auction them off. And you're talking about fourth grade kids, and so they're all just throwing all their money at him. At one point, he was a trillionaire, and everyone else was broke, and the teachers were just like, no, this isn't the way it works. We crashed the economy.
It seems weird that you can bring in things from outside the little world. Mm-hmm. I thought they would be kind of insulated, and they'd have to work within
it. You ruined the economy for everyone, Nick.
I had a little bank when I was a kid that just meant everything to me when there was money in it. So I would never spend anything because it wasn't even a bank. It was actually a plate. It was a Stan Musial plate. And behind it, there was a little slot. And I would keep all my extra little dollars I could save back there. And when I got up to $50, I was like, I'm rich.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to touch that money now. Then I won't be rich. I'd rather feel rich than actually spend the money.
Yep. That's what I'm talking about.
That you too.
Yeah.
Yep. I think they talked about this on Annie's show yesterday, but I wanted to bring it up. Have you guys heard of Miss Monopoly?
I have not. I've heard it, but I don't know what it is.
Okay, so it's Monopoly, but it's for girls.
Oh,
so
thank God, finally.
So if the three of us were playing, when you two pass go, you would collect $200. When I pass go, I would collect $240.
I see what's happening.
It's just kind of a way to make up for history's wrong.
I'm learning a lesson.
You know what? They're really fixing the whole gender gap, age gap thing.
Yes.
You're doing good work, Monopoly. Yeah. They also, oh gosh.
They were trying with Chinese checkers way back in the day, and it just didn't work out.
It just feels so condescending to me. It says, instead of buying property, players will invest in inventions created by women. Things like Wi-Fi and chocolate chip cookies.
What?
Yeah, I guess women invented chocolate chip cookies.
Okay.
It's just, I'm all for female empowerment, but when it just turns into, okay, so this is the girl version of the game, and in the girl version, we only do girl-invented things. Like, that's just stupid. I'm sure men didn't invent every single thing on the current Monopoly board.
Let me make a point here. You, to get a point across, I don't think that you have to cater to or kiss the ass of the person you're trying to get it across to, but understand that you're probably just pissing them off. Like, your average guy that would sit down and play Miss Monopoly would be like,
right,
whatever, you guys suck. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, just know your audience. Or just like PETA. Has PETA saved an animal?
No.
All they do is just make themselves happy and piss off people who are reasonable.
Listen to this. The idea is to create a game where women make more than men. The first game to do so, according to Hasbro. I'm sorry, I've played a lot of games. I didn't realize, you know, men typically made more money in board games than women.
And
I didn't know you remedied that. Like, you fix that by being like, here's an extra $40. Look, ladies, look, I know you're never going to get there on your own, so I'm just going to pad you with
Thank
an extra
you.
$40 every time you pass go.
What are you teaching your daughter?
Yeah.
What you're teaching your daughter is you need to cheat equal to a man. And
you're teaching her that she's oppressed and that she is inherently inferior.
Yes.
So that in order to fix the system, you need to receive more than a man would. You're literally telling little girls, if you get the same amount of money as a man,
you're going to lose.
You're going to, you're not going to be
this
able
little boy
to
is
take care
beat
of yourself.
You.
Yeah.
It's a terrible idea.
Ms. Monopoly.
The wage gap, everything I've ever seen about the wage gap in real life, not in the board game, A, is real, that men do make more than women, but B, that when you adjust for career choices, it's almost the same.
Yeah.
So the wage gap thing is only real if you don't take into consideration that women tend to, right now, choose lower paying careers.
Here's a great example. You guys have heard that in the past, the Cowboys cheerleaders have made a big fuss because they feel like they don't get paid enough money. Now, when it all averages out, they are making like less than minimum wage, but that's because it's not a full-time job. I believe it's supposed to be something that you do for fun, you supplement your income, but a lot of them say, oh, it takes up so much time and you know, blood, sweat, and tears, I don't have time to work somewhere else. Okay, fair enough. But they were, when you break it down, they were making $8 an hour. Ladies, if you choose a career where you make $8 an hour,
shaking your ass.
But then don't say like the men get paid so much more. No one's coming to the Cowboys game to watch you cheer. If they took the cheerleaders away, people would be upset for like 2 weeks, and then nothing about the NFL would ever change because you're not bringing in money for the team. You go and do appearances and remotes. I get that. I get that you're there for 8 hours and you only make $100, but negotiate
don't
a better
do it.
Right. Either don't do it or negotiate a better deal for yourselves. Now they did. They were able to bump the pay up from $8 to $12 an hour, and their game day pay, they were getting $200 per game day. Now they're getting $400. Great. Good for you guys. But when every headline, I think it's more the media than anyone else that's so condescending about it. It's like, they just don't value women like they value men.
True.
No, no, they don't value that position within the organization the way they're valuing other positions.
Yeah. If there were a male cheerleader in the WNBA, would he make as much as the star player in the WNBA?
Yeah, the implication is that he would be making more just because he's a man. No, if he's a cheerleader, he's going to get paid what a cheerleader gets paid. I probably sound sexist, but whatever.
No, anyone who disagrees with that is just stupid.
Yeah, I don't think it's about you don't value women.
You can't compare Dak Prescott, the quarterback of the Cowboys, to a cheerleader who no one knows who you are or what your name is. And let's be honest, they don't. It's not high school cheerleading. They're showing their bodies.
Yeah.
They're shaking their ass and their boobs. And so just shut up. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't shake your ass and your boobs for $8 an hour. There, problem solved.
Yeah.
You don't got to do it. It's not slavery.
Do you think in this situation, the girls said, boy, we're making $200 a game. Maybe we could make $400 a game if we used the words wage gap.
I think they wouldn't. They probably wouldn't have been able to negotiate this the way they have had they not caused a fuss in the
exactly.
media. Exactly. So, I mean, it's effective. I just, as a woman, I look at it and I go, man, I don't like lying. I don't like using overly dramatic language to get what you want. And I don't like the implication that I'm inherently inferior to men. And unless you give me extra opportunities, extra money, you're bent over backwards just to make sure I can tie my own shoes properly. Like, I don't like the implication that I'm not smart enough to do it without someone else giving me a giant boost. I hate that. I find it to be kind of gross.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.